this.
I'm There's an important this. Song, an important reason why we're starting with this song. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yeah. Saturday morning, a little after 9, Saturday, June 9th. Getting the hang of starting these things by myself. Why we're playing this song momentarily. It's Eric, and it being 9:08, I sent 3 text messages to Demetrius over the last couple of days. He might pop in here in 22 minutes. So if there's a strange pause in the middle of the podcast, it's me getting him. So bad at texting. I love Demetrius to death. I love Cohen. I love Kara. I love hearing about their lives. I don't love Demetrius' inability to get back to certain text messages. And he's yelled at me and tried to instruct me how to get a response, but whatever. So there's that. So this song is... And there's a lot coming up. Before we go any further, good luck to Janelle No today. We talked a lot about Janelle's harrowing story from a couple of years ago. Where, what was it? Some idiots burned her at a frat party. Half of her body had massive burns on it. And here, let me give you... I'm not a CrossFitter because it would... I work out. I do my very best. I do as well as I want to take care of myself. But I'm not a CrossFitter. It would just destroy my limbs, my tendons, my joints. I think Janelle had a PR, CrossFitters, you like that one, as she advanced further into the NCAA Track Championships, which maybe by the time you hear this, we'll know how she did. I believe it's out in Oregon later on this afternoon. That's Oregon, not Oregon, like the state Oregon. So good luck to Janelle. No. Why are we playing that song? Pete Rock and CL Smooth, They Reminisce Over You, a song with a great message. And you know, I don't get much into lyrics, but I wanted to play that. And we've used that before to start the show because the new season of another Marvel Netflix partnership is coming out on June 22nd. Luke Cage, that's the big black guy, Power Man. He's already had like a season and a half, had the first season with Mahershala Ali as one villain who got killed off halfway through. Alfre Woodward, the great Alfre Woodward, was in that as a conniving, manipulative local city council person. Great cast. My culture was great. And he was also part of the Defender series. I really enjoy all of them. I like Daredevil best. But the first season, I believe, had Gangstar, another 90s rap group. All their song titles as episode titles of Luke Cage. I believe that's... And it had great music in it. This season's... episodes of Luke Cage will all have Pete Rock and CL Smooth songs. And I really only know that one. And it's the last episode of the season with the title of that song, They Reminisce Over You. But I'm bringing it out simply so I can say that was one of the songs I had the single in what, 92, 93? I love that song. And that group, Pete Rock and CL Smooth, and I guess Pete Rock has several hundred thousand followers on Twitter and is still making music. That song is one of the most overlooked great hip-hop songs from the 90s. It's not mainstream like, what, Rump Shaker, Baby Got Back, or any of those other classic, traditional classic hip-hop songs. But it's just great music, great meaning behind it about single parenthood and what life in the hood. I mean, they really put it out there for somebody for me to understand. Talking about condoms and making babies and... life that still continues today. So that's why we started with that song. But again, it's always been one of the bumper songs to open the show. Good morning. I just got a freaking text from him. Yes, come by. So you're probably getting, I've got to wrap this up before 9:30. I'm texting Demetrius back. And it goes out. So I've got a half an hour to ditch this out to you before Demetrius comes by. So that's that. Anthony Bourdain committed suicide. And I know my friend Jen gets a little flighty when I say that. Anthony Bourdain killed himself in the same exact manner that Kate Spade did, a hanging. And I know it seems like a lot more people were upset by Anthony Bourdain, and I believe he did touch more people's lives, being on CNN, doing what he did, inspiring people to travel and get out of their comfort zones, as opposed to Kate Spade, who was well-known, a fashion designer, you know the name, but Anthony Bourdain was in front of your face on TV, touching people's lives, both through TV and all over the world. I haven't read up on it, but I do wonder if the thing that pushed him over the precipice was hearing about Kate Spade. And I'm simply speculating from a person who has lived through mental health agony. I wonder if him hearing that had him in the twisted reality that he was living go. She did it. It's okay for me to do it. Clearly, he was in some type of great despair. Again, people in good mental health do not kill themselves. 90% of suicides are connected to mental health, and it's not good mental health. Within that 90%, and I'm sorry, we just talked about this the other day on a podcast in regards to Kate Spade. In that 90%, I don't know the numbers, but I would like to know. We might talk about this again on Monday with Jen Wakefield, and I'm going to try to get Dr. Andrea on again so we can dive deeper into this. In that 90%, what percent is people feeling feeling like they're a burden to their families, and the other people like what I felt? I just want to escape the hopelessness. I want to stop waking up feeling like there's no reason to live. And obviously, that's not true. People care about you and love you. They want you around. I took a swig of coffee there. Quickly on this, I made a mistake last night. I got into a back and forth with a girl who couldn't have been older than 25, who is a friend of someone that I do like on Twitter. She's another radio girl who works in Chicago, and I made a mistake. It was like when I started arguing with people on the Kaepernick issue way back in September of last year. I shouldn't have done it. Because you're never going to, it's impossible to change somebody's mind. And she, and it sucks because we were both on the same side of the issue. We both want to help people who are in the throes of mental health agony and despair. I just disagree with people who say suicide isn't selfish. Let me walk through this one more time. To me, it's definitions and semantics. And again, we're all on the same side. I just believe in the definition of selfish. She brought up, do people have cancer? Are they selfish when they die? Good point. Because you don't bring cancer upon yourself, traditionally. You don't bring mental health issues on yourself. I didn't bring bipolar on myself. It attacked me like a cancer, like cancer cells and tumors attack you. I didn't have a choice. But if I were to kill myself, the act of ending that, just simply isolated, the act of ending my life via hanging with a knife, with a gun, with pills. The act itself is so that I alone can escape the darkness. The act alone is different from the intent. And I had this back and forth with this girl last night, and it was a mistake. I know better than to get into these types of arguments. In fact, would you allow me to read a couple of my own screenshots? So I put the definition of selfish up. A person lacking consideration for others, chiefly concerned with one's own personal profit or pleasure, in this case, escape. Again, isolating the act, that's what I would want to do. Get away from the mental tyranny of waking up every day thinking, believing, and it's a false belief, but it is from that mental illness that I have nothing to live for. Why wake up? When you kill yourself, and I'm reading my tweets, when you kill yourself, it fits the definition below. The end. The end. 90% of suicides are tied to mental health. It's not good mental health. No one wakes up, feels great, destroys it at work, and says, I'm going to kill myself now. It's a distorted, tyrannical reality that sets in from illness. Second tweet. Thread. If you could grasp that loved ones would miss you, you likely wouldn't kill yourself. But depression and other... Mic's off. Mic's not going over there. And other shit creates a cloud of havoc preventing that. Again, selfish act without selfish intent. Just wanting an escape from agony. I've been there on the precipice and ran. So again, I'm not saying what's driving you is selfish, but the act itself is. So I hope I'm making this as clear as possible. And again, if we're debating this, we're on the same side. We just want to bust through the stigma. Tell the people who go, just get over it, to shut the fuck up because you're a knuckle-dranding Neanderthal. Neanderthal, join us. Let's understand that the mind and emotions and psychology is just as important as our hearts in fighting cancer and fixing broken elbows. So I went to bed feeling shitty last night because I had this back and forth with this person who I knew I wasn't going to change their mind. It was dumb. Bad, Eric. And again, I haven't felt that bad since the Kaepernick stuff last September. Speaking of millennials, and I'm not trying to take shots. I do my best to be as discerning as possible. I don't want to be known as the person slamming people who are younger than me. Because guess what? When I was 20-something, I was probably overly entitled. I did work hard, but I definitely had an ego and thought I was better than I was. And my bosses, when I worked in Detroit and in Orlando, my friends Jay, Alex, and Bartel, they had to corral me because I needed managing. But I did work hard. I did want to be better. I just thought I was better than I was. So, you know, I've been playing these Sega Genesis games, right? I bought a Sega Genesis last week at the game shop. I forget what it's what it, on McCord and Central. Sorry, guys. I forget what it is. It was $34. Bought a bunch of games on eBay as I was drinking last week. And it's all cost me like overall like $70 for like 8 or 9 games. I had to get the alcohol and the Q-tips. But what I've learned is through these games, and I take advantage of modern video gaming as well, where I played all these Batman games, these Arkham games. The takeaway is I believe from modern video games, it's real easy. And we talk about millennials being soft and sensitive and having an inability to overcome failure and needing to be stroked and told how good, whatever the internet definition is of millennial, forget about the age group, but the person, the stereotypical person. And I wonder if video games created some of that, because video games are a lot easier than they used to be. My friend Matthew, outside of Dark Souls, I guess, there's a couple of video games, and Jeffy McGee can answer this. I think he told me a game called Bloodborne, where if you die, you're going back, way back. So in these Sega Genesis games, you go really, really far. You only get, unless you're using cheat codes, you get 3 lives. That's it. You don't get endless continues. You don't start off where you died repeatedly. You don't go back like 30 seconds in the game. You go back like 15 minutes in the game or 5 minutes of trudging through a level and enemies that you can't figure out how to beat. And this stuff, for the most part, isn't on YouTube. So when you die after the first life, you lost all that progress. I wonder if playing those types of video games when I was a kid helped me build some coping skills and helped me understand that failure. If I get to speak at this year's Epic Toledo Young Professionals Conference, they have in November, I'm going to talk about striving to fail, because failure is vital. And the theme of what that talk will be is, it's all about championships, right? You know, congrats to the Warriors and KD, and LeBron he's behind Jordan. He's 2 for me behind Jordan, but I love watching LeBron. Congrats to him too. We'll see where he goes. It's all about winning, getting good grades, getting titles, getting championships, parades, partying, doing the, I don't want you to tell you to strive for failure necessarily, but embrace it, because you don't learn anything when you win. You learn everything when you lose, and you need to embrace it and be proactive about your failure and take the most out of it. Maybe we need to teach failure more to younger people of all ages, to adults as well. So that's the video game thing, and I'm loving these Sega Genesis games. Although I got too good too fast at NHL 94, and now the other team can't score on me. I'm not scoring 28 goals a game, but they can't score on me. I've been having this stomach issue. You hear me swigging on coffee. Thanks to Deborah or Angela. A lot of people, Shannon mentioned apple cider vinegar. I've tried that before when I've had acid reflux. This isn't straight acid reflux. It's just like a rotten upset stomach with a little bit acid reflux. So now my doctor, who is brilliant, and I'll get to in a second, has suggested keeping a diary. So I'm being diligent about this food diary. Thank you to everybody that chimed in about the stomach stuff. It's bizarre. Like, my stomach was feeling rotten last night when I went to an event with my friend Lexi for Northwest Ohio Community Shares. Please look that up. And if you want to give a couple of bucks each week out of a paycheck, like $2 a week, to a cause, they can help you. Northwest Ohio Community Shares. Or go ask my friend Lexi Staples. After I ate a vegan bean salad last night and a little bit of pulled chicken, I felt okay. I came home and I had a peanut butter sandwich peanut butter sandwich on whole wheat bread, a piece of banana bread, a very small slice, and I felt okay. And I feel okay this morning. Not great, but better than I did yesterday. So thanks to everybody that's thrown tips my way. I knew a lot of them, like the apple cider vinegar. Again, thank you, Shannon. I didn't know. I think it was Angela who said don't drink coffee on an empty stomach. So I had a big handful of peanuts this morning. So some carbs to burn off and a little bit of protein as well before my coffee, which I have right here. Hi, Qua. He's new at Maddie and Bell, although he was at the Perrysburg one. I'm getting used to all the new ones downtown. So I emailed my doctor. In fact, he's not covered by my Medicaid, but I still want to go to him. Oh, crap. I got signed out. Can you give me 1 second here? I have to sign back in to my online account. So I can email him, and it's like digital doctor stuff. Oh, it's not working. I typed in the wrong password. Please forgive me. It's not working. I'm going to have to read this off my phone, and it's really small. So I've been emailing with him, and I think the other night I mentioned probiotics. My dad had suggested it to me as well. And they are good bacteria. That's basically all I know about it. I think I took them before when I had a stomach issue. Again, my doctor is encyclopedic. He is so brilliant. And this is why I will pay the $60 to go visit him to get these kind of answers. So from Dr. Sean, I asked him, should I take probiotics? And he is not like against alternative medicine. Part of the reason I enjoy going to him, and he is so brilliant. I think he went to Duke. He is a brilliant doctor. The most thorough and incisive that I've ever been to. He asks questions that no doctor that you've ever been to, you'd ever think would imagine to ask. He digs deeper. He pulls back every layer of the onion. And again, he's not against alternative things or even like side medicines, like probiotics. They're really only proven to help prevent antibiotic-associated diarrhea, and the evidence for other uses is lacking. They think that the strains of bacteria introduced by the probiotics are quickly kicked out by the normal bacteria that live in your bowels and are highly protective. And so the long-term benefits in terms of changing the bowel flora are debatable. He is the best information you could possibly ever get off the internet, but he's my doctor. I love him. And I'll try to put that in layman's terms. The probiotics that you might get for your stomach are if you have diarrhea. I love that word, right? Diarrhea from antibiotics, and they could help that. But it sounds like what he's saying is probiotics for a stomach issue don't really work. It's better to just let the bacteria in your stomach, bacteria is not all bad, let the bacteria in your stomach heal rather than adding good bacteria in there because it will confuse what you already have and kick it out. Does that make sense? But he's really the best. I love Dr. Sean, and I know I have sent a handful of people that have reached out to me over to him, and now he's super duper busy. It's official, Gerry Anderson is retiring. It was the worst kept secret here in Toledo for quite some time. His last show is next Friday night, June 15th. And to be honest, I don't watch a lot of local news. I'm probably like you. I consume most of my local news, not even on the websites, sometimes on the apps, but definitely via Twitter. All my TOL friends, my TOL nemesis, I say that in air quotes, Jordan Strack, my weather guys, Ryan and Chris, my buddy Melissa, and everybody else over at TOL, and also my friends at 13, Sean Hegarty specifically. I consume my news that way. That's where I found out I've been following the Janelle Ngo story. And that's begun to go national as well. So I don't watch a lot of news. And my friend Christy Lee as well. Good luck to her and Andrew on the 6 o'clock news, or whatever hours Andrew from the morning show is working. And good luck to Tim Miller working on the morning show with Melissa. Tim has been bounced around a bunch, and now he's got a solid spot with Melissa on the mornings. Gerry and I got to know one another from doing our Friday phone calls, and I was shocked after doing like, I don't know, 10 of those, and I met him face to face, and he treated me like we have worked together face to face for years. I know not everybody loved those segments with Gerry that we did on Fridays, but I appreciate you indulging me because it allowed me to foster a relationship on the air and then in person with, I pride myself on a couple of things. And regardless of whether it's radio or whatever line of work you're in, I go with compassion, loyalty, and authenticity. Be who you are. Even if you're going to ruffle some feathers, don't do it maliciously. But if you're going to ruffle some feathers, don't do it with ill intent. But be who you are. And Jerry is one of the most authentic. You always wonder, like, what's that person like off the radio? I hope when you meet me, I'm one of the things people have said to me is, you know, you're the same. I appreciate your honesty and your candor. It rubs people the wrong way, but I appreciate you coming, across with authenticity and just telling it how it is. I'm not trying to be like any Kanye or Charlamagne the God shit. This is just me, and I think a little bit differently. And if I ever come off to you like I look angry or aloof, I'll give you that, because I do like to kind of be by myself, but you can always say hello to me, and I do like to think I've prided myself to be the same person on and off the air. And I'm sorry if I've left a bad first impression with you some places. I try not to, even if I'm a lousy mood. You might brighten my day. You might be the one that turns my day around. Jerry is one of the most authentic, direct, genuine people I've ever met. Especially, it's a totally different bar when it comes to media. Because look, you always wonder, like I said, what's that person like, you know, off of YouTube? What's that person like off of social media or off of camera or off of the radio? And people are often playing a role. Like, it's a magnification of who I actually am. But from the moment I met Jerry in person, he treated me like I was a son, like his nephew. Always calls me young man. He asked me how work is going, and it's not to get gossip or be a journalist so we can, you know, shoot stuff out on Twitter. He doesn't even use Twitter like his colleagues do. So I wish him a very happy retirement. But if you ever come across Jerry and you watch him on the news, if you heard him on the air somewhere, he is as nice and as kind and as community-oriented as I think he is, and as he comes across. He does care. He is genuine. He is authentic. It's not some dog and pony show. It's not some magician's act where he's just trying to curry favor. He's a good person, and he cares about this community, and I wish him nothing but the best and lots of what? Tigers, Browns, Lions, Ohio State victories. Jerry isn't, if I criticize him, he's a fan of too many teams in our area. But I wish him nothing but the best in retirement. And if you do have the pleasure of ever meeting Jerry at one of the many events he will likely still stay tied to in our area, tell him that I said, Eric said you're really nice. Are you really? And he'll give you a big smile and probably a big hug, and he'll give you his time. And that's the most, in many cases, we can ever give someone our time. We're all big fans of TSA, right? This happens June 21st from 7 to 9 at TSA in the Porter Gallery. $100 per couple. It's expensive, but hold on a second. Obviously, TSA is a wonderful cause. Google this, or tsforarts.org or 419-246-8732. Extension 256. Roll that back if you need me to, so I don't have to say it again. 100 artists, TSA students, staff, and local celebrities will create 100 12 inches by 12 inches original pieces of artwork. How about this? Then people who come choose the one you want when their raffle ticket is drawn. The name of the artist is only known after the work is chosen, hence the name of the event, Undisclosed. I think this is a great idea. So it's $100, a little expensive, but that's what events are like in our community. That's fine. It's for a good cause, TSA. You get a cool piece of artwork from local artists, students, staff, local celebrities. I'm not part of it. I'm just talking about it for Bethany and TSA. Love the idea. Pick, your raffle ticket is drawn. Pick a piece of artwork. Then you find out who did it. Some of the artists: Tom Marino, Danny Herrera, Larry Golba, Phil Hazard, Genevieve Stanfield, and more. Drinks, hors d'oeuvres, live music by Caden Chase, no relation. A very cool event. Tickets might sell out by the time you hear this, so act quickly. It's a partnership with the Art Supply Depot. Undisclosed, June 21st, 7 to 9 at TSA, TS4, the number, TS4Arts.org. What else do we have going on here? I have some Cohen stuff, because we spent the day together yesterday. I'm going to save that for a couple of minutes with Demetrius. And thanks for being here. Also, that Ryan Gosling movie, I'm calling it, I think it's called First Man or First Mission. There were so many movie trailers to drop in the last couple of days. The Bumblebee movie, the Halloween one. I'm not a horror fan anymore, but I've always adored Michael Myers. I liked him more than Freddy and Jason and the other movies, Poltergeist, the 80s horror movies, because it seemed somewhat real. And maybe because he's a mental health patient, I connect now more deeply as an adult. I didn't see it yet, but I'm Looking forward to it. I'm glad it's like a restart with Jamie Lee Curtis. So I have to watch that one. There were other trailers. Black Klansman, that looked really good. There were some other ones that have come out as well. But this First Man with Ryan Gosling playing Neil Armstrong looks really good as well. There was a very long trailer during last night's finals that had me super interested. I'm not the biggest Ryan Gosling fan. I don't dislike him. I like him a lot. And again, I'm for Vinny and Justin, that's the kind of role I'm looking for from Chris Pratt and Chris Evans. Can you do that kind of role? And I know you're portraying something in someone that happened, but that serious, Oscar-worthy, Academy Award-type role. And that looks like it could get some Academy love. First Man, whatever it was. And I'm calling it Apollo 13, 2K18 is what I'm calling them. Thank you. Look, a lot of people who missed the show, it's been officially 1 year and 2 days since we've been off the air, don't know about these podcasts. I think there are a lot of what we used to do on the show, depending on who's on. So if you could be like, hey, the show that we used to love, Eric and Demetrius will be here shortly on another podcast. They're still here. Find the podcast, ericchase.podbean.com or on the Podbean app if you're an Android user. The iTunes podcast app. Just search Eric Chase. You will have me. Thank you. Hashtag subscribe and share.